It's your Handy Ham World Weekly e-letter for the week of Wednesday, the 2nd of September, 2015. I'm Pat Tice, reporting for Handy Ham World. In this edition, September marks the new ham radio season. Forget about those FCC ULS call sign lookups for about the next week. W0EQO refurbishing begins. The Sarah General Course starts this month for those of you in the Twin Cities. Hey, check into our nets, or try something new, QRP. This week's website features a way for blind computer users to install Windows. That ought to be interesting. And Dip in the Pool returns with a question from the Extra Class pool this time. It's about the meaning of the word ideal. You'll want to stay tuned for that. And new audio is available for our members. And finally, we remember a great teacher. But let's start out with, what is it about September? Ah yes, September. It's a month of change. This is the month I begin taking along a headlamp or a flashlight when walking the dogs in the early morning. By the end of the month, the lamps will also be needed for the evening walk. As the days get shorter, the nights grow longer, and the autumnal equinox will arrive on September 23rd this year. After that, the slide into darkness picks up the pace like a roller coaster that tops a peak and then races downhill. Those longer nights mean better HF band conditions on 160, 80, and 40 meters for sure. Less solar-driven absorption in the D layer of the ionosphere, fewer thunderstorms with their disruptive lightning static, and longer skywave propagation will make those bands come alive. Your strategy to work 160 through 40 meters should be to get on the air during the hours of darkness, perhaps extending that just a bit into the early morning, maybe up to an hour or so after sunrise. Picking up DX on these bands can be like going fishing. You have to go out with your fishing pole. Guess what? You go when the fish are biting, that's what. Yes, the lazy fisherman dawdles until noon and has a hamburger for lunch. The smart fisherman gets up before the sun and has fresh fish for lunch. Making contacts on these bands is like that. Wake up early, switch on the radio, and reel them in. Later on in the day, forget about the lower frequencies and head to 20 meters if you must, but I prefer the fun of longer wavelengths as autumn approaches. For Handy Ham World, this is Pat Tice, WA0TDA. Well, it's September 2nd today, and the FCC ULS database is undergoing maintenance. It starts today. The FCC databases are undergoing a significant upgrade and will be unavailable for almost a week. This includes the FCC ULS database, which contains the records of amateur radio licensees. The outage extends from Wednesday, the 2nd of February, through the low-usage Labor Day weekend until Tuesday, the 8th of September. You can read the FCC announcement in a link at handyham.org or through your weekly e-letter. And you can still look up license information, of course, but you have to go to the familiar call sign lookup websites. But remember, their databases will not have access to ULS updates for the week. We also provide you in your weekly e-letter with a link to check out the Handy Ham lookup list, which has several websites that you can use for call sign lookup. Well, W0 Echo Quebec Oscar is off the air as refurbishing begins of the station. The Kenwood TS-480 SAT is on the workbench. So far, I have had no success getting the computer to talk with the radio, thanks to the lack of the correct serial port driver. Remember that W0EQO is down for maintenance for an unspecified period. I guess it's time for me to order a new, updated USB to DB9 cable. As for W0ZSW, it's back on the air part-time with the legacy W4MQ software, though we are accepting no new users and have stopped distributing the software. We are doing this to accommodate a few users who have no other way to get on the air. Please don't ask me for tech support on the station, as we have ended all support. The new software for our remotes will be the RC Forb client from remotehams.com. The link is in your weekly e-letter. Well, you know it's getting to be toward the end of summer and into fall when we see the general course being offered. It starts September 17th. Yes, it's the free general class license course that starts Thursday, the 17th of September 2015. Sarah, the Handy Ham affiliated Stillwater Amateur Radio Association, will once again conduct a fall general class licensing course beginning in just a few weeks. Technician level hams looking to expand their HF operating capability are invited to join us for 8 instructor-led sessions. The classes are designed to help attendees successfully pass the general exam. Heck, it's also a great easy way for any ham to brush up on basic theory. Classes will be held Thursday evenings at the Stillwater, Minnesota Public Library from 6 p.m. to 8 p.m. Although we encourage attendees to come to all class sessions, a combination of classroom and self-study has been successful for many. An ARRL-sponsored VE testing session will be held November 12th. Do you know anyone interested in upgrading to general? Give them this information. According to Bob Jensen, W0GAF, Sarah's education and training director, our instructors are well-versed and enjoy teaching amateur radio. I've heard it said we can almost guarantee those who attend our sessions and read and study a bit on their own will pass the exam. I guess we can't make it much easier than that. Also, anyone interested in forming a study group for obtaining their extra class license should contact Bob or one of Sarah's officers. Local Twin Cities area tech class licensees may contact me, Pat, WA0TDA, by email for the correct phone numbers. The Stillwater Amateur Radio Association website has more details about Sarah. The link is in your weekly e-letter. Okay. How about trying something new? QRP contacts. Matt, KA0PQW, recently acquired a 40-meter CW QRP rig. QRP, you know, is ham radio shorthand for low power transmitting, usually 5 to 10 watts or less on the HF bands, depending on the mode. Anyway, Matt writes to us and he says, I have managed to work 2 countries on 40 meters with this QRP rig, Mexico and Cuba. They weren't easy contacts, but it was fun to make them. I don't think I have ever worked DX using QRP on 40 meters before. My next goal to work is Europe. Thanks, Matt, for that, and good DX to you. Those of you who have never tried QRP operation might want to think about the challenge and fun of something new this autumn. Even if you have a typical 100-watt transceiver, you can easily adjust the power level down to 10 watts or less. Then the fun begins as you experiment with CW and even single sideband phone to try and pick up contacts. If you really want to work in efficient low-power mode, you can try something like PSK31, which does quite well at low power levels and modest antennas. QRP skills can be valuable if you were ever forced to operate on emergency power, since QRP can make your batteries last longer. In your weekly e-letter, we provide a link to more QRP resources from ARRL. You might want to take a look at that. Well, what are you waiting for? Check into our Handy Ham Nets. Everyone is welcome, you know. Here's how to find the Handy Ham Net. We are on Handy Ham Echolink Conference number 494492. That's Handy Ham, H-A-N-D-I-H-A-M, and the conference number 494492. You can connect via your iPhone, Android phone, PC, or on a connected simplex node or repeater system in your area. If you're using your local repeater, check with the repeater owner to make sure it's okay. You can also connect via Wires 2, system number 1427, and the new Wires X digital number 11165. Again, those Wires numbers, 1427 analog and 11165 digital. The Handyham Net is on the air daily. If, by any chance, there is no net control station on a scheduled net day, then we just have a roundtable on-the-air get-together, which is a lot of fun, too. Our daily Echolink Net operates for anyone and everyone who wishes to participate at 1100 hours Central Time, noon Eastern and 9 Pacific, as well as Wednesday and Thursday evenings at 1900 hours, that's 7 p.m., and if you calculate GMT, the time difference is that GMT is 5 hours ahead of Minnesota time during the summer. Doug, N6NFF, poses a trivia question in the first half of the Wednesday evening session. That's the first half hour, so check in early if you'd like to take a guess on whatever question Doug has picked out. Then the answer to the trivia question is generally given shortly after that first half hour mark. A big thank you to all of our net control stations and to our Handyham Club net manager, Michael, VE7KI. Turning to this week's website, Talking Windows Pre-Install Environment. Blind users can now install Windows. This is new in operating skills, thanks to Joe Bogwist, N3AIN, who teaches us how to install Windows in a pre-boot TWPE, or Talking Windows Pre-Install Environment, TWPE. Blind users can now install Windows. Joe also addresses the restoration of a PC from a previously created image and says he will do a tutorial on that project. Listen to the N3AIN tutorial on how to use the Talking Windows pre-install environment. It's an 8 megabyte MP3 file. The link is in your weekly e-letter. It's called Installing Windows Without Sight. And you can either stream that MP3 audio or download the 8 megabyte file to your device for listening offline. This procedure allows you to install Windows in a boot environment while providing screen reader feedback, something that ordinarily would not be possible. Now, this is not for users who are computer newbies. In fact, it should be attempted only by users who have a solid familiarity with making changes to their computers. Joe writes, "This is the page I used for the Windows Talking install files. There's also another version by Brian Smart, but I used helpbird.com. The link is helpbird.blogspot.com. The link is in your weekly e-letter. And then the other link is blog.briansmart.com. That link is also in your weekly e-letter. You might consider adding those two links to your resources, and be sure to listen to the N3AIN tutorial. Now it's time for a dip into the pool. It's Dip in the Pool. Our question this week is from the Extra Class Question Pool, number E5D09, Echo 5 Delta 09, and it asks us, what happens to reactive power in an AC circuit that has both ideal inductors and ideal capacitors? Again, the question, what happens to reactive power in an AC circuit that has both ideal inductors and ideal capacitors? Answers are, A, it is dissipated as heat in the circuit. B, it is repeatedly exchanged between the associated magnetic and electric fields, but not dissipated. C, it is dissipated as kinetic energy in the circuit. Or D, it is dissipated in the formation of inductive and capacitive fields. Okay, while you're thinking about which answer might be the right one, let's just remind ourselves that paying close attention to the wording of the question can reveal clues about the correct answer, even if at first you are not quite sure about which one to choose. In this case, we focus on the word ideal. After all, it is used twice to describe inductors and capacitors. Clearly, then, it is a key word that means something special. When we recall the everyday meaning of ideal, we might come up with something like, oh, maybe an ideal day. and that would be a day that is as close to perfect as possible for whatever our plans might be. An ideal location would be one that is just right for convenience, services, enough sunlight to grow tomatoes, whatever it is, you name it. Okay, did you decide which answer is the correct one? If you picked answer B, as in Bravo, it is repeatedly exchanged between the associated magnetic and electric fields but is not dissipated, then you got this one right. All the possible answers contain the word dissipated, which means given off in some way, but only answer B says not dissipated. Perhaps, you reason, something like an inductor or capacitor might be ideal if energy is not dissipated. And if that was your reasoning, then you were right. A big part of passing exams like these is to pay close attention to the wording of the questions and the answers. Sometimes key words point us to the correct answer, and this process can add to our overall knowledge and understanding of electrical concepts, as well as that all-important passing score on the test. Turning to new audio, we find that there is new audio since last week. The QCWA Journal for September has been recorded by Jim, KJ3P. It is released when the official journal for September is posted at qcwa.org, so watch for it at qcwa.org. And I just got a notice recently that QCWA has released the journal for September, so you will find the audio link there. And Jim just let me know he's started reading the September CQ magazine digest for our blind members as well. So we'll be looking for that in the near future. The Doctor is In column from September QST has been recorded for our blind members by Ken Paget, W9MJY, and is available in the members section. QST for September in digital has been recorded by Bob, N1BLF, and that is also ready for our blind members. We do have it in DAISY for our blind members. You download the zip file, and that will play on your Library of Congress DAISY book player, or your other DAISY player device. If you'd like to receive this audio newsletter as a podcast in software other than in iTunes, we do have an RSS feed for the audio podcast. You'll find it at feeds.feedburner.com/handyham, H-A-N-D-I-H-A-M. The link is in your weekly e-letter. A big thank you to all of our volunteer readers, Bob, N1BLF, Jim, KJ3P, and Ken, W9MJY. And as we finish up here, does anyone remember Tony Treader, W0KVO? He was a long-time Handyham volunteer, and now Tony is a silent key. But here's a fun fact about Tony. In 1970, 45 years ago, Tony was already an experienced amateur radio operator and qualified for QCWA membership, meaning that he had been licensed for 25 years or more. The screenshot that I'm including, showing Tony's name and call sign, is from the 1970 QCWA yearbook, courtesy qcwa.org. No wonder it always felt like Tony had forgotten more about electronics than the rest of us ever knew. He was a long-time ham radio operator who really, really knew electronics and operating from the ground up. In your weekly e-letter, I've got a picture of Tony as he teaches a class at Courage Kenny Rehabilitation Institute, St. Croix in Stillwater, Minnesota. As we get ready to teach another class at the Stillwater Amateur Radio Association, I remember and am inspired by Tony's passion for teaching classes and sharing amateur radio with others. Tony was a great friend of all of us at Handyhams and also a member of SARA, which is my own radio club. We sure do miss you, Tony. And as we finish up, I'd just like to give a shout-out to ARRL, the premier organization supporting amateur radio worldwide. You can contact us at Handyhams if you need help figuring out how to join the ARRL. We'll be happy to help you fill out the paperwork. Your weekly e-letter is a compilation of software tips, operating information, and handyham news. It is published on Wednesdays and is available to everyone free of charge. You can contact me, Pat Tice, WA0TDA, for changes of address, unsubscribes, etc. Include your old email address and your new email address. All you have to do is just reply to the weekly e-letter. That's it for this week, folks. 73 from all of us at Handy Hams and Handy Ham World. This is Pat Tice, WA0TDA, and I hope to hear you on the air soon.